This is Crescent Coral Radio,
a fan podcast about the animated series Science Ninja Team Gatchaman and its related shows.
I don't care what kind of crap comes out of your mouth, but you can't make any intelligible words. Understand? Now kick out the jams!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Crescent Coral Radio podcast. I'm your host, Kathy, and joining me is my co-host, Dan.
Hello there.
On today's episode of Crescent Coral Radio, we will be reviewing Gatchaman Episode 8, The Secret of the Crescent Coral Base.
Yes, indeed. It's a fun little episode, some good Jinpei stuff. And we're just wanted to give a mention that we're releasing this on the day before Kathy's birthday. So happy birthday, honey.
Well, thank you. Another year older.
Yep. Another successful trip around the sun.
Yes. So, without further ado, let's get on with the episode.
Yeah. Our episode opens up underwater, as so many of them do. We've got a small group of small two-person submarines that kind of look like a cross between Luke's land speeder and A-wings.
And they focus on one pilot of these underwater A-Wings, and he actually sounds like he's originally from Minnesota.
Yeah.
With that Minnesota accent, you know.
They like that accent on this show.
The Midwestern. Yeah. That upper
they have
Midwestern.
Fun with that.
Fargo, you know? From the upper Midwest. I was born there. I can talk like that easily. So, okay.
But then, as they're.
They're having a conversation about
how beautiful the seafloor
is and this base
how
and
clean it is and
exposition for us to
yes.
hear, you know, and the purpose of this base. They talk about that too.
Mm-hmm.
Then a giant sea anemone shows up.
Yeah.
First, the thing I want to mention is I wrote an episode review of this probably like 15 years ago. I could not type that word. anemone. So apparently now I can't say it either. So this ought to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's this gigantic, kind of goofy-looking thing that I really don't think looks much like any real sea anemone. It's basically a big tube with these four spindly spider legs at the bottom and then tentacles at the top with two big googly eyes.
And the tentacles shoot lasers.
Yes, they can extend out to a ridiculous length, and then they shoot lasers out of the tips. Not something you normally see on National Geographic.
Guess who's responsible for this?
Oh, yeah.
Just guess.
Yeah, just try.
And meanwhile, back on the surface, there's a red balloon, and mm-hmm. Ken gets it unstuck from a tree and gives it to a little girl. And then soon, he is surrounded by some very weird-looking children.
Yes, they definitely look like they've been part of some sort of weird genetic experiments or something. I don't know. They're just weird.
So then the girl thanks Ken, and then these other kids are there, and they're all like, wow, you know, thank you. And
yeah, you know, that's such a bizarre thing.
Fawning over him.
Children would not behave like this. She would be happy that he handed her the balloon, which she probably could have reached up and grabbed herself. It was at, like, his waist level.
One of the children, a boy, is wearing a sailor suit.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's a school uniform, but...
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
It's so hard to know. And one kid, his head is shaped like a balloon.
Triangular.
Yeah. It's just so weird. And they're... You know, telling him how cool he is, just like Gatchaman. And then these, you know, Jinpei's ears perk up, who's kind of sitting nearby playing with his bolos. And so he decides to find out where he is on the pecking order. And so he goes in and starts asking him who the coolest is, because he assumes it'll be himself.
Of course. And then Ken gives Jinpei a dirty look and says, hey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When Jinpei's like, yeah, I know all about Gatchaman.
Yeah.
So, well, then the kids reply, the kid in the sailor suit's like, you know, G1 is the coolest. And then...
Because he's the leader.
You know, Jinpei is disappointed, of course. then, okay, well, then he wants to know who's next, and the girl says G3.
Which is kind of cool that they put her next. And then there's Joe. He would probably G2. Be kind of irritated about that being third. That kind of... And then there's Ryu.
G5. Well, they just say G4, G3, yeah. G2, G5.
Yeah.
You know, the fat fellow.
Yeah, I don't know if the public actually knows names or not.
No, they
don't. They just know their codes.
They don't. They just use, like, G1, G2.
Yeah.
I should mention, and I have up right here, I also have pulled up my original written episode review, which was from the Rhino subtitled version, and... You know, the kid with the long face is like, oh, G2 is cool. He's a cool brother. And then when they ask who's in fourth, it's like, G5, the chubby brother.
Oh, that's fun.
I should read this from the review, because this is kind of funny. I was just kind of skimming ahead. It's, you know, then, you know, after he says G5, you know, is in fourth, and then he adds the kid in the sailor suit, adds G4. The kid is at the tail end. This is what I wrote. Then the freak children, because that's what I call them, start laughing, and Jinpei looks really sad. Jinpei goes, as he has his back to the other kid, gosh, I'm finally at the bottom. That's what they said in the Rhino sub. Then he looks over his shoulder at the kids and says, you guys don't know it all. And then Ken just chuckles and ruffles his hair, which does not make Jinpei feel any better.
Mm-mm.
And Ken leaves and Jinpei follows him, but not before he says at the kids, damn. That's in a different version, but pretty much that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're in an alley.
Yeah, just wandering down an alley, and then they get when Jinpei again brings up the 18th generation of the Iga ninjas.
And he's the least popular.
Yeah.
This is not sitting well with him.
Yes. But then they get a call on their wrist comms from Nambu that they need to meet up with the Phoenix. And so they both just transform in the middle of this alley. And hopefully there weren't any hobos nearby that could see them or anything like that.
I have like another passage. This was a good review I wrote. You know, Jinpei is like kind of, you know, I'll make it big next time. I'll be number one on the popularity chart. You'll see. And then this remark, for some reason, I'm quoting from my own written review. Okay, this remark, for some reason, makes me think of turning on my TV and seeing Casey Kasem, who was the voice of Mark on Battle of the Planets, in those sweaters he used to wear on the show America's Top 10, which was back in the 80s, going, at number 3 this week on the Science Ninja popularity chart. And if that weren't enough, besides that, he'd also do a top 40 radio countdown show on the 40 most popular ISO employees. At number 25 this week is Dr. Nambu's secretary. But I digress. I just thought that was funny. And the muttering doesn't go unnoticed by Ken, who's all like, what'd you say? And then Nambu calls, you know.
Yep. And they transform and then just jump straight up in the air. Cut to the ship.
So then everyone's aboard, and then they get briefed on this, and...
Yep. Nambu tells them that, yeah, we're in the
y'all
middle
need a base.
Building you a base, and that I need you to patrol around an uninhabited island at point G, which seems like a very minimalistic type of map coordinate to me.
Yeah.
And
we have to back up a little bit, because it says... You know, in order to annihilate Galactor, they need a base. Y'all need a base, you know. So then Nambu goes on to say that this will be a base for the God Phoenix and your fortress. And then Jinpei is all like, thank you, my own fortress. I'd be like a prince. Yeah, and then June says, yeah, a prince who eats like a pig. Yeah, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They read that. Never heard of a prince who eats like a pig. Yeah. Yeah, and Nambu says, we have to assume that Galactor already knows that the base is being built, and makes mention of those little A-wings and the underwater thing, and apparently those were research subs or something, and
yeah,
Galactor's trying to sabotage all of this, and then they're ordered to patrol the island at point G. And then Nambu has a special message for Jinpei. says, G4, Galactor will surely come out. Search the sea and the sky near the island. And then Jinpei's like, oh, just search, you know, whatever. And then Nambu says, that's right, just search and report. And of course, Jinpei's not happy because people who search and report aren't very popular. And Nambu's like, oh, what? And Jinpei's like, ah, you know, or scared. I don't think he actually goes, ah, but Nambu's like, Gachima, we must not, I told you before, but we must not attack Galactor. And then I just, you know, it kind of makes me wonder, if they can't attack Galactor, how are they supposed to annihilate them?
Yeah.
Seriously.
I think it's purely, it was a poorly phrased, don't shoot first policy. But by this point, I mean, they're pretty well established that they're the, you know, they're not a good group and they're not a nation. They're just bad people. So, yeah. Nambu's just got, you know, control issues.
Okay, well, Joe's not too thrilled about having to do patrol duty, you know, because that kind of like throws cold water on his revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Jinpei is not too thrilled because he can't up his popularity. And then Ryu wonders if Galactor's going to show up. And then June makes an observation that Nambu seems to have something in mind and Ken agrees with her. And in my Episode 8 written review, apparently in Battle of the Planets, Mark and Princess were all, like, chastising them for questioning these orders and stuff. And there was probably some major sucking up to the Seven's Arc 7. So then they arrive at this island, and as they arrive and circle around it, some green tentacles poke out of the water and wave around. And then they take a dive and go in water. So then we switch over to Katse, and he reports what he saw to X, and there's no doubt that Nambu's secret base is around there because the Science Ninja team showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And Sosai replies that since Gatchaman is here, we have to assume so. And in my episode review, I referenced this. I wondered if Sosai X knows the reason why you should never assume.
Yeah.
Because it makes an ass out of you and me.
Mm-hmm.
Get it? No. So then Leader X orders Katse to find Nambu's secret base as quickly as possible, because if it's completed, the base will be a lethal threat to Galactor. So then we're back to the God Phoenix, and Jinpei is sitting inside the bubble dome.
Yeah, it's kind of a cute, cool little scene. He's just sitting in the dome, eating what kind of looks like a little
Debbie snack cake
or something like that.
He's eating some Little Debbie.
Yeah, and just munching, you know, looking around at stuff. And then a poorly drawn great white shark kind of swoops in at the bubble dome, and he sort of freaks out, and the elevator then lowers down while the other ones laugh at him.
Yeah, they cut the bubble dome part out of Battle of the Planets, apparently.
Mm.
When he's admiring the scenery, and then he's frightened. And
I really liked that little scene. Yeah. It was kind of cool just to see him sitting up there enjoying the view. Totally seems like something that they would do with that.
I'm thinking the standards and practices person in charge of Battle of the Planets has never been to an aquarium.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the platform goes down back into the bridge, and as Jinpei's coming down, Ken and June are laughing at him. You know,
these are kind of jerks.
Yeah, June is all, if a shark can scare you, it's no wonder you're last and you're like the least popular or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Jinpei's all like, you got a big mouth, you know.
And then he laughs like a maniac.
Yeah, and then Jinpei's all like, just you wait.
I'll have my revenge on you.
I'll get even. Wah. Anyway, you're going to keep all these word trips in here, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Because that's part
anemone.
Of the game. That's part of the shtick. Just, you know, the anemone mech pops up in front of the God Phoenix, and June's all scared. And then Jinpei laughs at her and says, oh, it's just a sea anemone. It's just a thing.
Yeah.
And if that scares you, then your popularity will plummet. And Ken says, kid, sea anemones aren't usually that big.
Yeah. This thing's like the size of a 20-story building, so that is not normal. And they normally don't have little spider legs underneath them and big googly eyes.
Yeah, and then Ryu says, I've never seen one that big, and, you know, he mentions that the tentacles are poisonous, which is actually true, because now it's time for some fun facts about CNN, and then those things. Okay, so he was right about that. They fun fact, they belong to the Phaedrum Cnidaria. They have gonads. That's a fun fact. I saw this on Wikipedia.
That must be where Katse's escape ship is kept.
Yeah. The mouth is also its anus.
Delightful.
Quote from Wikipedia. The mouth, also the anus of the sea anemone, is in the middle of the oral disc, surrounded by tentacles armed with many cnidocytes, cells that are both defensive and used to capture prey. So its mouth is in the middle of this disc, and it's surrounded by so it's got, like, tentacles around its bunghole.
Yeah.
Eats out of the same place it craps.
Wow.
It must be fun at parties. Okay, some some anemones start out as females and eventually become males.
Okay.
Anemones are capable of sexual and asexual reproduction.
Hmm.
I'm sensing a theme here if you are familiar with the series, especially Katse.
Yeah.
So, but we'll put an entry or link to the Wikipedia entry, and there is like a picture of it with a diagram of its like primitive like digestive system, and it's where the gonads are and all that other crap and all that fun.
Mm-hmm.
Those nice, fun, biologically. We'll put a link to it with pictures of, you know, where the gonads are and all that stuff, and, you know, all that other fun biological stuff, including lots of very difficult to pronounce words. So then.
After they basically escape it, because it starts hopping after them when they try to avoid it.
Doing, doing.
Yeah, it looks so ridiculous. And the big googly eyes. And then it starts shooting the lasers at them. So then they realize that definitively, yeah, this is not normal. This is Galactor's new machine, even though it's like one of the few that doesn't actually look like a machine. They made it look actually organic.
It's shooting at the God Phoenix.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's shaking around for a bit. And then there's like a gratuitous fanboy shot of June in her underwear, you know, from behind. So just thought I would mention that, something for the guys, you know, but there's no gratuitous fangirl shots of anything for the ladies. So,
and so they pull a tactically dubious move and decide, okay, well, we've just been attacked by Galactor. We got away. So let's park on the beach of this uninhabited island that we're patrolling and go to sleep in the open air, just laying on the sand. It's really weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they wanted fresh air. And I'm thinking, why wouldn't they have, like, sleeping quarters on the ship?
I know. The thing is huge. Of course they would have to have quarters on board. And I don't understand the beach thing, apart from to supposed to make it easier for Jinpei to, you know, sneak on board and leave. But if they're already on board in their own cabins, it would be even easier, and we'd get cool animation of the inside of the ship. Maybe that's what they didn't want to do.
And then apparently Joe and Ken can sleep sitting up.
Yeah.
And Ken's snoring up like a chainsaw.
Ken's got his back to a tree, and Joe is just sitting upright, sleeping. And Ryu basically sounds like he needs a CPAP.
Yeah, he's snoring like a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Or a diesel engine. And then Jinpei looks really annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then he's, like, hearing the voices of those freaky little children in his head about, G4 is, like, last. And
he's pretty shrimpy.
Yeah. And then Jinpei says something about, they made fun of me, I'll show him. You know, mm-hmm. And he gets up and goes to get his buggy.
Goes to the buggy. And, you know, all the noise from this didn't seem to wake up the four highly trained ninja that are asleep on the beach. like directly below where this vehicle is coming out.
So heavy sleepers. That's probably
Galactor really had a prime chance right here, because they could have had their mech just go sort of walk up onto the beach and step on them all, and nobody would have noticed.
Then, okay, now it's morning, and the four remaining members of the Science Ninja team are on the beach, and they're staring at the now empty bay, which held Jinpei's buggy. And in the Rhino sub, Ken goes, "Jinpei's trying to score." What? What? Drugs? He's trying to score drugs? Women?
Yeah.
Are you a little young for that?
Yeah, that's weird.
And then June, probably not believing what Ken just said, goes, "What?" But, you know, basically, he wants to make it big and be popular.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and, yeah, they totally get why he disappeared.
You know, he went, must have gone after the sea anemone monster, and then Ken saw, "Let's go," and they go on the God Phoenix, and they go and search for Jinpei's G4. And then sad music starts playing in the background, you know, and they call him and there's no answer. And it's like several days of this. And then they're back on the beach.
Yeah.
And then we get some really, really, really shitty animation again. Primarily, it's how Joe was drawn.
Okay.
It's like, you know, it looks really, really shitty. Probably have to get a screenshot of that.
Yeah.
And he's all that damn kid, you know, causing us to worry.
Mm-hmm.
And they call to him and there's no answer. But meanwhile, Jinpei is off somewhere sitting in the open mouth of his tracker and he's fishing.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool little scene where he's just sort of sitting there and fishing off the edge of it. And looked like he brought up a puffer fish from the looks of it. It sort of inflated itself and he threw it back. And
Jinpei like puffs up his cheeks at it too before he throws it back. And then we hear his bracelet chiming and it's Ken, and Jinpei's ignoring it because his honor is at stake.
Yes. More like his ego is at stake, but but it's nice to know, okay, you know, since it's been several days and I'm wondering what kind of food stores he has on board that little vehicle. So apparently he's supplementing his Little Debbies with going fishing.
Poisonous fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then he's back underwater, and long story short, he gets captured by Galactor.
Yep. They bring him into the actual, you know, inside of it, down through the butt mouth, and goes through an airlock, and they lower him down to where he's just in one... Apparently, this thing's mostly hollow with one big room.
Must be its digestive tract.
And that's where Katse is with some goons. And Jinpei is smart. He doesn't actually leave the vehicle. He just kind of pokes his head out a little bit to basically tell them to kiss off.
Yeah.
And then he basically, since he's in his vehicle, inside their mecha, he decides to start wreaking some havoc. And that part's kind of cool.
Well, after Katse is all like, you know, "What a spunky kid," you know. "Oh, by the way, kid, thanks for leading us to Dr. Nobu's secret base." And
right before they sucked him up into the mech, that Jinpei sort of finds a cliff where just below is this massive structure of domes and lights, and it looks kind of like a habit trail. There's just tubes everywhere and big rounded dome structures. It's all lit up. So, of course, everyone looks at this and goes, "Okay, here's the base."
And then, well, Jinpei's all like, you know, gonna stop him and stuff. And he drives the tracker. And then something peculiar about the inside walls on this thing.
The inside walls of this are all pink and fleshy.
And they split
open.
They look like vaginas.
Vertically, yeah. It's
the vagina walls.
And goons step out with their machine guns.
And start shooting. It's like giving birth.
Yeah.
Kind of, not then they really.
And then when Jinpei would come after one of them, then he would just step back and the wall would close again. And then he would thump into the wall.
It's very filthy.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Who's old enough to remember, there was a song back in the 80s called Sugar Walls. that Sheena Easton sang, and that's what it was about, when she was saying, come spend the night inside my sugar walls. It was written by Prince, by the way.
Not surprised.
But those walls make me think of that song. I have to go see if I can find it on YouTube or something. If you're easily offended, you might not want to listen to it.
Yeah. And it's basically sort of a stalemate apart from, you know, driving into Katsue's chair until Jinbei realizes, oh yeah, I've got all sorts of tools and gadgets, so a buzzsaw comes out, and then he starts slicing through the walls.
Instant episiotomy, yeah. Except it's the wrong way.
Yeah.
Didn't know I've had one.
And then the goons actually, somehow their machine guns release the blade from its housing, disabling that weapon, so then he has a big, just looks like a weight on a stick. So he basically starts punching people with it until they throw a net over the vehicle and hoist it up. So that way he's kind of stuck.
And just when we think he's, like, screwed, guess who shows up?
Because he calls them.
Yes.
He decides that, you know...
Okay, I've had enough of being tough.
And I'm kind of an idiot, because they let him right to the base, so he calls the team in. They trace his signal and show up.
So then there's, like, all this fighting and whatever, and then Katsue, of course, gets away.
Well, there's quite a bit before that. You know, when the team shows up, the Galactor goons had already blown up the base that was there, and Ken is, like, really, you know, freaked out and pissed off, and so he smashes the screen over the bird missile button and launches one. I think it's the first time
really
we'd ever
gross.
Seen him
sorry.
Seen him launch a
launches one
without permission.
I was thinking of something else.
I know. I'm trying to ignore it.
I'm sorry, my mind is there. Sorry.
And
it started with the walls of this.
I know.
Mech.
But the one shot actually seems to take the whole head off of the creature. So all the tentacles are now gone, the googly eyes have floated away, and so they fly up over it and just kind of form an airlock seal to the top of the thing, so they could all jump inside, and then there's lots of gymnastics and throwing people and kicking.
And fighting.
Yep.
And then they escape, and Katsue gets away.
Yep. In a escape ship that looks kind of like it was designed by the same people who built the Red Impulse fighters.
Okay.
It's got the same spiky bits on it.
Okay. And then, you know, they report back to Nambu when they're back on the God Phoenix, and they're upset because they believe that they failed to stop Galactor from learning about this new base.
And blowing the crap out of it.
And instead of getting angry, Nambu just laughs like he's a douchebag.
Yeah.
It's like a very douchebaggy sounding laugh.
Yeah, yes. And it turns out that basically he used his own team as a distraction. Said, okay, you guys go over there, because then Galactor will assume that's where it is. Well, I'm going to be over on this side finishing up our stuff. So basically they kept the enemy busy without knowing it.
So, yeah, and then they show him where the real base is, which is the famous Crescent Coral Base, which
yes.
is... Where we get our name from.
Yeah, and it's kind of odd, though, because this is the first appearance of it in the show, yet we don't see it in a, like, a long shot where you see the whole base at once. Instead, all we
probably
see in this...
In the next episode, I would
probably.
Think.
Probably.
We'll
but all
see
we see
we
in this
it.
Are just close-up pieces of it.
Yeah.
And it's sort of weird. You don't really even get a good feel for what it looks like in this. There's no beauty shot.
Sorry, I was going to say something else and I thought I'd better not.
And,
I'm so filthy, I'm sorry.
So then they, basically, there's a quick shot of Nambu inside there. You know, he's looking out the window and sees the Phoenix flying up. And then the last shot is them flying into the hangar. And, so now we'll have the iconic launch sequencing that we have for most of the series.
Then, you know, the narrator then chimes in with the, you know, the usual, like, ending thing. And then at one point he says, Galactor, you disruptors of world peace. But the way he says it, it sounds like he's saying, Galactor, you fiends!
Yes.
We're going to challenge you to fisticuffs or something like that. And then he issues a challenge to Galactor.
Accursed Montebank. But, yeah.
You upstart. Damned upstarts. You know, I've been watching too much period drama too lately.
But that's the episode in our first introduction to the Crescent Coral base. And which leads me to think about one little thing. Where were they parking the Phoenix before?
I know.
Did they have like a rented storage unit? Were they parking it at like a local airport hangar?
Maybe this could be the our next poll.
Because
you know,
the only other thing I could think of that was a possibility would be maybe underneath the Howard Johnsons there might be a
I think there hangar. Is actually under Nambu's country home or slash Howard Johnson's. I think there is.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, there is.
Okay.
Okay, so we won't do that for a poll. We already know the answer.
But it was just sort of like, because we never saw it launch previously. It was always just there. And so now we'll actually get to see the whole launch sequence.
So.
But what would you be your rating on this?
4.5. Out of 5, I think. And a lot of that is because this is the episode that gives us the name of our podcast. Plus, there's a lot of, like, goofy stuff. Yeah. I'd forgotten until I brought up the original review I wrote for this and while watching this, just how goofy this episode can get.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's yeah, just, there's like, a lot of very odd things, a lot of really questionable decisions.
These freakishly weird looking children.
Yeah, I don't know why they were animated to look like that. They know how to draw real people.
I know.
So I was very confused at why they looked like that.
You know, maybe, you know, some of it is me. I'm still tripping over the anemone. Maybe, and some of it I think is now knowing what I know about anemones, because I had biology survey 101 last semester, and we were talking about phylum and class and order and all that stuff, and this particular animal's phylum came up, and it just triggered that, and thought, okay, well, I've had some fun facts about anemones here.
Yeah.
And I still can't say it, and I probably never will. I don't care. It's okay. So...
Yeah, I would probably, I'm thinking probably like a 3.5, because there's, you know, some good stuff in here. I like that we actually get to see some action with Jinpei's buggy in combat, even though it's kind of weak in its design. The really, really goofy mech, it's just so bizarre and just ridiculous with it hopping along after him with the big googly eyes. It's Doing. Just
Sigmund the Seamon. Oh, I don't think his neck looks so much like Sigmund as it does Sigmund's brothers.
Yeah, it's just so weird.
What the heck were their names? Blurp and Slurp. That is Sigmund's brothers' names.
Wow. Yeah, he
maybe blurp the is the noise Sigmund. That the thing makes when it's bouncing. Blurp, maybe. Blurp. Anyway.
But, so yeah, that's our review of this episode that brings us an iconic piece of the show in a really bizarre, goofy package.
And if you thought this mech was weird, then next episode's mech is like goofy and weird too.
Oh yes,
the many scorpion that craps out rocks.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Oh, that one's gonna be fun.
Yes. All right, let's wrap things up here. We want to hear from our listeners. We have a lot of different ways you folks can reach out to us, including our Facebook, Twitter, SpeakPipe, and the forums. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Android, or the TuneIn app. For the complete list of ways that you can reach out and connect with us, check our show notes at crescentcorallibrary.com/8.
Thank you for joining us, and be sure to join us for our next episode, where we will be reviewing Episode 9, Demon from the Moon. And we may or may not have some other goodies for you. We just don't know that yet.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But that's one of those fun, really weird episodes. So, yeah, that'll be hit.
And bad animation.
Bouncy, googly monster, so googly-eyed thing. So, and next we have a scorpion that poops out rocks. So, look forward to it!
This podcast is not endorsed by or affiliated with Tatsunoko Production Company Limited. Science Ninja Team Gatchaman, Battle of Planets, and Related Practice are trademarked in the United States and or other countries of Tatsunoko Production Company Limited or its affiliates. All other works mentioned in this podcast are the property of their respective owners. All other content is the intellectual property of the Crescent Coral Radio Podcast and its hosts, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike license. www.crescentcorallibrary.com